The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Mazel Tov, what a great weekend. And I just find it very amusing when I sit here and hear Howard telling people that they've got attitude, don't you? Like
that. That whole pot calling the kettle black business, hey?
I suppose you're well qualified to judge Howard, so we'll leave it at that.
Exactly. Well, they do. They've got real attitude. All right. But, yeah, great weekend it was here in South Africa. And, of course, everybody thrilled and basking in that in the World Cup victory. Let's talk about the coalition, real things. What's going on? Is there an update?
Well, real things or not, because one press report that I saw says that the coalition diary for this week is the negotiation diary for the coalition this week is empty. That was the report. And so we have to kind of wonder whether there's really any serious attempt to try and form a coalition. I mean, we do know that Benny Gantz has another couple of weeks left. He's the man holding the ball at the moment, literally, with the responsibility to try and form a government. There were some rumors behind the scenes about him trying somehow to break open Prime Minister Netanyahu's group of parties who have committed to only negotiate as a group rather than in a piecemeal fashion with blue and white, with Kahol Lavan. And in fact, we understand from some rumors which have not been confirmed that Kahol Lavan had been trying to negotiate with the Yamina Chadash, with the Naftali Bennett Ayelet Shaked party, and he's tried to attract them to come to him without bringing the remainder of the right-wing bloc with them. And the rumors are that they were offered cabinet positions in order to try to support a minority government. He's trying apparently to put together a minority government of something like 55 seats, and then he hopes to get support from outside of the coalition from the United Arab List party. That really doesn't seem to be going anywhere at the moment. And so, you know, we remain as skeptical as ever about the prospects of government being formed. In the meantime, other things are happening. For example, the press is already starting to talk up the prospects of a third election. There's already been some opinion polls. Apparently, one opinion poll showed that if a third election was to be held, 52% of the voters would blame Netanyahu. Only 27% of the voters would blame Kahol Lavan leaders. So Netanyahu seems to really be, at the moment, at least as far as the general public is concerned, taking responsibility for the fact that we don't have a government yet. It's also the 4th of November, which turns out to be the 24th anniversary in the Gregorian calendar of the assassination of late Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. And the memorial gathering was held on Saturday evening at the renamed Rabin Square. Once upon a time, that square where Rabin was assassinated used to be called Kikar Malchei Israel, the Kings of Israel Square. And after he was assassinated, the name was changed to Rabin Square as we know it today. And that's where the memorial was held on Saturday evening, as it is held every year around this time to commemorate the assassination of the Prime Minister. And the hero of the evening who appeared in public was Benny Gantz, looking very kind of prime ministerial and interestingly trying to potentially take the mantle of Rabin. And I find it interesting because Rabin, of course, was very much a left-wing politician. Benny Gantz is not. And yet he's painted as a left-wing politician, certainly by the Likud and by Prime Minister Netanyahu, in order to try to create a clear distinction in the public's eye between the Likud and Netanyahu and Kahol Lavan and Benny Gantz. The only thing that I could really term as being left-wing about Benny Gantz is his partner Yair Lapid, who is probably also not extremely left-wing, but is certainly on the left side of the political spectrum. And Benny Gantz, in my opinion, certainly is not. And yet on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, he was really trying to work that label that has been painted upon him by the Likud and by Netanyahu in order to assume the position that Rabin kind of left fairly vacant because there really hasn't been any strong successor on the left wing of Israeli politics, I would suggest, since he was assassinated. And so Benny Gantz was really trying to fill that spot. I'm not quite sure whether it's good for him to do so and whether he really was very successful. But certainly there was a lot of support for him in Rabin Square on Saturday night. And I think that most of the support really came from people who simply want change rather than people who necessarily support the left wing. Although, of course, these gatherings and a memorial of Rabin are generally attended by people who feel that they don't have representation on the left side of politics because the left side of the political spectrum has been so substantially weakened in the years since Rabin's assassination. So they were really out in full force on Saturday evening. But it was just an interesting mix. And I think most people are just looking for change, looking for a government, looking for something stable, rather than necessarily thinking that Benny Gantz is the man. But right now, he is the man who could potentially bring that change. And so people are certainly eager to support him in order to try to make that happen.
Yeah, indeed. And interesting. It's a very, very interesting angle, as you said. A number of missiles were fired from Gaza on Friday night when a home was damaged and one person was injured. Does this look like a change in tactics from Gaza? What's going on here?
Well, we sense that there is a change going on in Gaza. All of a sudden, in the middle of Friday night, 11 missiles were launched from Gaza towards the area of Sderot. Many and most of them were intercepted by Iron Dome, which is operational in the area. Some of them landed in open areas. Unfortunately, one did explode outside that private home where people were in the basement in the bomb shelters. And we have to be thankful for the fact that people are following instructions and doing what they're told in terms of sheltering away from these missiles, because that could, God forbid, have been quite a serious situation with people potentially being injured and possibly even killed. Lots and lots of damage outside that house and damage to the house itself. Vehicles outside the house were looking pretty destroyed. And so, you know, overall, it's quite scary when you have missiles landing in residential neighborhoods in the middle of Friday night dinner. I mean, that's not really what we had in mind for the people living in Sderot. And certainly they have to suffer a lot with this, and that's not okay. But the point is that there seems to be a bit of a change going on within Gaza. And we understand, ironically, that Hamas seems to be slightly weakened in Gaza at the moment, and that Palestinian Islamic Jihad is taking over a lot of the control of what's going on. And from what we can gather and from what the report suggests, the missiles that were fired on Friday night came from Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And we now have a new name of somebody who is really taking over and becoming a very public figure. He is Baha Abu al-Atta. He is the head of the Al-Quds Brigade in Gaza for Palestinian Islamic Jihad. He's considered one of the top terrorists around that area. Apparently, he is very much in control of quite a large swathe of things that are going on in Gaza, while Hamas seems to have been losing some control, losing some support on the Gaza Strip. And that vacuum is apparently being filled now by Abu al-Atta. He is a guy who's been around for a long time, even though his name has not been known to us. But now, of course, we're becoming very familiar with his name. But apparently he survived an assassination attempt back in 2014 during Operation Protective Edge, he survived an assassination attempt back in 2012 during Operation Pillar of Defense, when apparently the IDF did try to take him out in an assassination attempt, and he survived that. And now, 7 years later, he's still very, very active, and he's becoming quite publicly known and quite famous for being a real renegade and a terrorist and taking some control over what's going on in Gaza. So there were reports following that sudden barrage of rockets on Friday night that the IDF should be be preparing for more rockets, that the people down in the Gaza area should be preparing themselves for further attacks coming from Gaza. There were even some talks about a possible ground operation into Gaza in order to try and clear things up and sort things out. I don't think that that's realistic right now, and certainly not while we don't have a government, which of course is not helping the situation. But definitely Palestinian Islamic Jihad is the name now that we need to be very familiar with. And of course that of Baha Abu al-Atta, who is becoming really the main protagonist in that particular sphere. And so we have to obviously be familiar with what he's doing and what he's up to. And we will be waiting to see. The Security Cabinet did meet yesterday. There weren't many reports coming out of what was discussed, but certainly there is a feeling that some changes happened with the balance of power in Gaza over the last few weeks and months.
Fascinating. Really, really interesting. And I see that Twitter, we're reporting it, has banned the Hamas Twitter handle and Twitter account, as well as Hezbollah, which I think also is a very positive move indeed. Israel's
Absolutely.
New
plan. Absolutely.
Sorry, Anthony.
I was just going to say one last thing. The irony of the whole situation is that now the Israeli government sort of quite like the fact that Hamas might be stronger in the Gaza Strip rather than the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Better the devil you know than you don't know. Who would have thought that the Israeli government would be kind of supportive of Hamas maintaining control in Gaza? You know, it seems very, very ironic indeed.
Absolutely. Israel's new prime ministerial plane has undergone final test flights, and that's been before being introduced into service. What are the details of the new plane?
So this is what they're calling Israel's Air Force One, okay? Because, of course, Air Force One is the presidential airplane for the president of the United States. Israel, up until now, has not had an official plane to transport government senior officials or ministers or prime ministers or presidents around. Up until now, El Al has been used for those purposes. The senior government officials have been transported from place to place on effectively scheduled flights, pretty much scheduled flights, mostly, but also certain charter flights using El Al planes. Now, Israel has its own prime ministerial plane. I'm not quite sure what we're going to call it, because Israel's Air Force One doesn't really sound right to me, but we'll have to, I suppose, get a name for it eventually. This is a Boeing 767-300, which was actually purchased from Qantas 3 years ago. And since then has been retrofitted by the Israeli Aerospace Industries to make it suitable for use by the Prime Minister and his entourage, and also by the President. They will both make use of this plane when they need it at various times. Of course, the plane not only has been retrofitted in terms of making it comfortable for them to fly on, but also has a very, very sophisticated communications capabilities, and something that's not being publicly discussed, but I'm sure is there anyways. Of course, it's got security features on board as well. They've been test flying the plane. There was a little bit of an emergency when there was smoke coming out of one of the wheels before it took off the other day. Apparently, that's just been attributed to the fact that the plane's been on the ground for so long, but it's now had a four-hour test flight. And apparently, the plane will be introduced to service very soon. They're saying that the plane will be able to fly nonstop from Israel to China or Japan, as well as to the US or Brazil in the West. So it has a fairly substantial range in terms of its ability to get senior government officials around. And apparently has got all the state-of-the-art equipment and communications and everything that you would expect a Prime Minister of Israel to need for secure communications, being updated on things that are going on while he's in the air. So that's going to be interesting. Cost of this thing has been about 600 million shekels, approximately $170 million all in all, which seems to be quite substantial. But I guess the money people have worked out that it's more worthwhile to have a plane like this and to pay that sort of money than to dole the money out to charter flights and to El Al, as they've been doing up until now.
Fascinating indeed. Time is 8 o'clock. This is Where We Love, and leave you, Anthony Reich. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Here's your news with the Nati.